Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Children of God! God is in this place! Clap your hands, all ye people! Shout unto God with a voice of triumph! He is mighty! He is holy! He is worthy! There is none like Him! Celebrate Him!
Today is a super exciting night because people are going to get healed. Yes, there's going to be massive, massive healing in this place. People that have issues with their blood, you're getting healed today. Yes, some of you, the healing already happened. There's someone with sickle cells. During the praise and worship, you received your healing. Depression is going in the name of Jesus. Yes, marriages are being restored in the name of Jesus. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we worship you. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited. Even you excited. While we are standing, I'd like to send greetings to Dr. Okulo. Dr. Okulo is a good man and a good husband. There's a verse that reminds me of him. Ladies out there, date men who con you with verses. Those days we had SMS and Pastor Emma would send me an SMS with a verse. He conned me. Ephesians 5:25-28 in the Message version say, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Isn't Dr. Okulo such a giver? Yeah. He never thinks about himself. You ask him, what do you want? He's like, I don't know. Whatever makes you happy. Christ's love makes the church whole. When Dr. Okulo met me, I was brokenhearted and broken. I don't look neither brokenhearted nor broken today. I am so whole. Because he's a doctor, a love doctor. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. Thank you for loving me so well. Yes. He's such a good man. I've told him before that I know he can make no mistake. That every decision he makes is the right decision. Yes, I have no issue submitting to him. Because I know that he submitted to God. One of the ways that I know he submitted to God is he submitted to the shepherd that God sent him. Apostle Moses Mikisa. At our home, Apostle, we don't have difficult conversations. You're the one that has them with him. Seriously, like if a thing stresses me, I give it to Jesus. Jesus talks to his Apostle. Apostle talks to Pastor Emma. What a channel. So before you know it, there's kameza. Before you know it, there are flowers. Before you know it, there are plans of building. I never talk to, like, Jonas, you know how you're there and you can be a wife who wants things. Eh? Just make sure your husband is submitted to the right person. Before you know it, you have land, you have houses, over what, like that. Apostle, thank you for being such a good, good father to Pastor Emma, to myself also. But I was just thinking today that our marriage will never suffer. It can't. Ever. Because. Yeah. The Bible also says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And I've experienced that in two ways. You know, Apostle taught us about impartation. You know when you know a thing around here, then it enters there. I understood it. And my eyes opened. You know it's good to have an inheritance. And spiritual inheritances, is that the right word? You just have to be a child. So now let me tell you a thing that happened, Apostle. On Sunday, Pastor Calvin is teaching inheritance to his children's children. And Pastor Calvin, Papa Kalo, who I don't know whether he's walked in the prophetic before, I don't know all the gifts of him, and I believe that Apostle walks in all the five gifts, all of them, the five offices. So he's there in the service. He really yaps that there's someone here, one with pain in their teeth. Yap, talk, talk. And so he gives a word and he prophesies. And at the end of the service, someone came and said that it was me you're talking about. As soon as you said, I put my hands on my teeth and the pain disappeared. You guys can't pray for these things. You get them. Also, you see yourself and you're speaking. Even the building thing. I know I've told Jobin's story, but because he's at the drums, I'll say it again. You know that thing that Apostle keeps saying about ready at 20, what? That young gentleman, before 30, before 25, how old are you, 24? You're 26? 27. Enga, you've grown. At 27, the things that Apostle walks in, do you understand? He has built and finished his mother's house. He is finishing. Have you finished the payment on land? He's finishing payment on a piece of land so that he can start building for his wife and himself. Children's children. Do you understand? You just become a child and things happen. So thank you for giving me a good name. Thank you for giving me a good inheritance. Thank you that the people, everyone I disciple, is just gaining from you. Ah, we are the people going to own property. We are the people going to have good marriages. We are the people going to plant churches. We are going to be mega church pastors. We are going to go out on evangelism. Can we put our hands together and celebrate our apostle? Woo! Thank you. You may take your seats. Yeah. You can take them to the back. Wasn't the worship team amazing? The best. Yeah. The best worship team. You are like a heavenly army. Today, I want to talk about a thing that has tried to stifle my growth. A lie from the enemy called fear. And today, I want to talk about freedom over fear. And this is how we'll start. Talk to your neighbor for 30 seconds. So you're going to take a minute. What would you do if you had no fear? What would you do if you had no fear? So remember, the other person has 30 seconds, then also you have 30 seconds. What would you do if you had no fear? Are you liking what you're hearing? Everyone joining us online and at the different cathedrals. Hello, we greet you. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. The things you're hearing, what are they making you feel? Excited? Huh? They're making you feel freedom. Your neighbors think of the thing you're saying. Both. Okay, just say one thing. You've said one thing. The things you had, what did they make you feel? Shivers. Mm-hmm. What else? Some people felt excitement, freedom, shivers. Talk to me. It's okay to talk to me. What did you feel? What did you feel? Some of you are saying that thing for the first time. Right? Like it has finally come out of your mouth. Ah, may you eat of that fruit of your mouth. Ah! It has finally come out. Like the first time Apostle said, we are planting 1,000 churches. Wow. It used to make us shake. Now we're at 3K. Can I teach you guys a song? So there are many things about fear, but I want us to, after you've said that dream, there's a song called I Belong to You by William McDowell, Vera. And each time I'm faced with a thing, I remember whose I am. That thing that you said you didn't put in your heart, because God works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, and he delights in your prosperity. So if a person tells me to do a thing and they also make sure I do it, isn't that like so lovely, amazing love? And I found myself facing fear recently. And I kept playing this song on replay. Because I had to remember that, do you know what? I belong to God. I belong to God. You see, my children don't worry about school fees because they belong to me. Yeah, they don't wake up and they're like, come on. I don't know how we are going back to school. They're at home playing. My son's asks of me when I'm leaving home, what should we bring for you? He says, can you please bring me a PS5? Yes. Legit. You know how we used to ask our parents for donuts and sweets? He says, can we please buy a PS5? One time we were at the airport. I think he had picked me up or you were taking me. I don't know. And he's like, mommy, would you allow me to use your private jet when you get it? You belong to someone. Know whose you are. I know who you are. In his mind, a private jet is not even an ask. It's like, as in, can I use it when you get it? And when you go back home with all the PS5, he's like, as in, why you too busy? So now we are teaching him a money lesson. We've told him, why don't you save for it? We'll tell him the real reason in a few years. But know whose you are. That thing that you said, it's from God. And you belong to him. And if he has put it in your heart, he wants it for you. I've been captured by a love I can't explain. And now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender, my life is not my own. I belong to you. I belong to you. Say, I belong to you. Sing.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Let's try the verse again. Very simple.
I've been captured by a love I can't explain. And now you have me. Now you have me. And I'm forever changed.
Have abandoned
everything I've ever known.
Now I surrender. Side of the room, you're going to continue singing, my life is not my own.
To you I belong.
I give myself.
I give myself. I give myself to you.
My life, I belong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank you, because we have nothing to fear. There's a movie called The Matrix. And in The Matrix, you can decide to live here, the reality of life, which is so sad. There is hunger. clothes are torn, you know, like you can't walk through doors. But there's also another dimension in the matrix, which is surreal. You can walk through doors, you dodge bullets like this, you're dressed so well. And the thing that I like about the matrix is that it tells us that both dimensions are happening at the same time. So you can decide to take the red pill or the blue pill. If you take the red pill, you stay. All right? Yes. In this normal reality, like people call it. Okay, where you fall sick. You know what the world has called reality? You fall sick. The only way to die is through sickness. You get broke. What has reality, in quotes, taught us? Shout out those things. You get stressed. You get chucked. Depression. All those things. Then, if you take the blue pill, you're taken to another reality where you are a superstar. Where you are statuffer. Oh, yes. Where suddenly you're wearing nice, cool clothes. Nothing can touch you. You always defeat the enemy in that world. Oh, yes. And the thing that I need you to understand is like the matrix, faith and fear are two realities at the same time, and you must decide which pill to take. It's not that suddenly when you pray, heaven appears. No, that right now you can decide to exist in what the world calls reality, faith, fear, or what the world doesn't understand, which is faith. There's a time I was coughing, and coughing so badly. And the truth of the matter is, according to his word, I don't fall sick. By his stripes, I was healed. Sidwala, me, Sidwala. So I was walking down in the basement. I was leaving Worship Harvest Nadia, rushing to Worship Harvest Bugolowi then, and I'm coughing. And some girl rocks up to me, who I didn't call. He's like, hey, you have a cough. At that moment, I realized that something is happening. Because Apostle had just prayed here, declared healing, and I'm like, of course I'm well. So I told her, no, I don't. And she came closer to me and said, no, you have a cough. I felt anger rising up. I said, no, I don't. Then she walked closer to me and said, no, you have a cough. My gosh, I wanted to shout, get behind me, Satan, but I couldn't because I'm a pastor. And I told her, I do not have cough. Then I entered the car. Like, why are you on my case? Who has sent you? Do you know me? Do I know you? Understand that I am unbogable. Ah. Faith and fear operate in the same time difference. And so therefore you must decide that do I choose to live a life of fear? Or do I choose to live a life of faith? I keep sometimes telling my children that there are two realities right now. There's the God reality and there's Satan reality. If I choose God reality, I'm submitting myself to all things God. If I choose devil reality, I'm submitting myself to all things devil. So I ask them, so do you want to stay angry? Devil reality? Or you want to choose joy? Choose who to submit to, because it's a decision away. It's a decision away. I once had a conversation in my life that hurt me so badly. Pastor Jeremy was there. I was talking to someone. They said some things which, and we were at a camp in Mukono, and I had to go and lead worship with this person. So they said some very bad things. And I remember walking to the hut. Oh, yes. What was that place called in Mukono? African Village. I entered the room. And my body wanted to tell me to fall down and cry. But I entered the bathroom because I'm so dramatic sometimes. So I stood under the water to wash away the emotions. And I prayed in tongues. And I prayed in tongues. And I prayed in tongues. I prayed in tongues for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, this ends. Pastor Jeremy is assuring that person, this person is your friend. How can you say things like that? By the time I left the bathroom, I was so kawa. I met them, and they were, because he had assured her, she was the one who was a bit afraid. But I saw her, and I was filled with compassion. I felt so sad for her, because I'm like, do you even know what you're doing? And I put my hand on her. I said, everything is okay. And we went and led worship. Jesus, we are it. There's a story in the Bible. Matthew 9:20-22. It's about the woman with the issue of blood. What an issue. It says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your fear? Your faith has made you well. That at that same time, there was healing available to her. She had to take the blue pill. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now I want you to picture. Ladies, understand. But I don't think men understand. Bleeding for 12 years. Non-stop. How much is the cost of always pads? Cost. 3-5. Okay, so when women bleed for maybe 4 days, how many packs of pads do they go through? It depends. Some go through 2, others 3, others 4, others 5. So for easy maths, what's 3K times 5? 15K for 5 days, for easy math. How many days is 12 years? How much does it cost to bleed for 12 years? Just the cost of buying pads. Okay, in between there, it said she had seen many physicians. In fact, she had gum her money, which is also called, known as finishing. How much is consultation fees at a hospital? Hey, Dr. Okulo should tell us how much consultation fees are. Because you see, at some point, you think maybe it is a head issue. Maybe there's something wrong with your brain that's telling your body to continue bleeding. Okay, maybe the issue is the uterus. Okay, maybe you're not doing exercise. So, ladies, how many doctors would you see for you to stop bleeding for a month? You would see as a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth opinion. Okay, also she was unclean. She cannot work. Anyone who touches her is unclean. Anything she sits on is unclean. So how many of you thought she was living with normal people around? So she's probably isolated. She is single, not by choice. Because who will marry you? They can't touch you. Din, 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 din. Those who are born in 81 and above understood. So some of you are facing situations just like the woman with the issue of blood. Situations that have caused you to become isolated. Situations that have made you feel less than enough. Situations that have made you feel there's something wrong with you. Situations that have made you feel that maybe you're cursed. Because how do you bleed for 12 years? Why am I always failing in class? Why doesn't the headache ever go away? The men who call me, why are they always the fake ones? Why can't this addiction go away? How many of you know what it takes for someone who's been isolated to go to a group of people? And to walk among them. I don't think she was walking with her head held high. It's even against the law. She can be stoned, something. I don't think she walked with her head held high. It's probably why she had to touch the garment, because she was down. Scared. Maybe I can't be seen, so I'm covered. The shame, but you're tired. You're crawling through the crowds. Crawling through the crowds. Like today, I choose faith. I will no longer be afraid. Because there's a man that I've heard about who can give me my healing. A man called Jesus. So she crawls and she walks and she touches the hem of his garment. And at that very hour, she is made well. At this very hour, you too can be made well. The enemy is lying to you. The enemy is saying you shouldn't show your face in that congregation. After what happened? The enemy is saying, look, you've done HI 2 times already. And you did not pass. Now you're signing up again. You see, because he's not afraid. Elder Roy did HI how many times? 3 times. Not because he passed Heidi the first time, and not because he passed Heidi the second time. That is like, let me go and show these guys how dope I am the third time. Dropped out the first time. Dropped out the second time. But he went for the third time. He was like, do you know what? I'm crawling to the hem of that garment. I got to go. And I think he's doing HI again this year. What a blessing. Jesus' reality. There's another story. Mark 5, 35 to 43. What is it that you need to overcome today? To get out of that fear. To do that thing that you said, if you had no fear, you would do. That thing is available to you today. Get out of world reality. You're submitting yourself to the enemy. That's how he's stealing from you. And get into God reality. The enemy steals from you by saying you're unclean. You spend so much money. And again, look, just allow that this is your situation. Just allow that maybe at this point I'll never be married. Just allow that after 6 years of trying, just chill, you won't have a child, not knowing that there's year 7. Do you testify? That's his story. 7 years. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus had the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, this is devil's side, right? Maybe this side should be Jesus' side because it's the right side. So let's keep God here. Let's do the enemy here. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, fear. Only believe. It's a decision now. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. That story ends with, let's keep going. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. My son at night when he was younger used to cry so much. Wow. I was like, God, I thought children were a gift. I'm not feeling too gifted. Look, the boy would cry. And I would hold him and sing the song, when the oceans rise and thunders every night. I will soar with you above the storms. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. For me. That sometimes the thing stopping you from seeing what God wants to perform is weeping and wailing loudly. The storms are rising, everything is like, whoa, wait. But you're like, my child is coming. My healing is here right now. I will pass HI. I will finish my Rise and Build pledge. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead but sleeping. What are you saying about the situation? We were supposed to have gone into our house maybe 2 years ago by August. Because my son woke up in the morning and said, I prayed to God. And he told me that we're entering the house by August. I said, amen. So when August started, he started packing his stuff. And I kept telling Pastor Emma, what should I tell him? He packed out his whole room, his stuff and his sister's stuff. In bags and in boxes and cases. Because God said by August. August came. Each time I would go home, there are more things in the sitting room. God said we are going into a new house by August. So we'll go into our new house by August. But you know, I had to tell him, you know, sometimes new house means new season because now we're in September. I told him God hasn't specified. I actually told him God didn't specify the year. Just the month. So you heard well. That child is not dead, but sleeping. So I kept telling him, it means God is making our house bigger. This cut time of 5 months was just for a 2-bedroom. Now it has grown to 5, maybe 6 bedrooms. What are you saying about that situation? I don't have money. My people don't have money. I can't sign up for HI because I don't have money. Let it be to you as you have spoken. You bind it. You will never lack any money. You will have lots of money. God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You will pay your rent and rent of others. You will build houses for people. You will build churches. Yes. You will pay your fees and fees for 10 more people. You will never lack. The Lord is your shepherd. You have everything you need. The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. The verse continues. And they ridiculed him. You? Guy, you've been praying for 7 years. But last time you didn't finish your pledge, and you're giving the same pledge. I don't remember what it is or who it was. But they said, if I believe for something this year, let's say a bicycle, and I don't get it, the enemy is in trouble because next year it has become a car. Because as in, same faith. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who are with him and entered where the child was lying. Verse 41. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Turn to your neighbor, find out their name and tell them to arise. Say, Emmanuel, I say to you, arise. Solomon, I say to you, arise. Amanda, I say to you, arise. Peace, I say to you, arise. All those dreams that God has put into your heart, they are not dead, they are just sleeping. And right now, I tell all those dreams to arise. Yes. I tell all those dreams to arise. I command all those songs to arise. I command all those books to arise. I command all those children to arise. I command all those buildings to arise. I command all those businesses to arise. They're not dead. They're just sleeping. And right now, they're arising. In the name of Jesus. Verse 42. Immediately, say immediately. The girl arose and walked. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded, because theology, let's stop at verse 42. The girl was now alive. The girl was now alive. You can have both thoughts of fear and fear or unbelief at the same time. Faith and fear are opposing forces. It's like, fear is faith in reverse. Fear is believing someone or something other than God. Whose report will you believe? Yes. If it's not of God, it's not for you. There's a time on a WhatsApp group, someone shared a report and said, Oba, hail is coming, a hailstorm. Oba, it's what? It's coming. It has gone through these countries. Oba, destroying things. Eh? No, was it? It was flooding, yes. Flooding. Then I responded and said, there will be no hailstorm in this country and no flooding. Then the person replied and said, be realistic. It has happened. No. I told them, there shall be no flooding in this country. And indeed, there was no flooding in this country. Yes. Whose report shall you believe? You see, fear makes us subject to the devil and everything death. Because when you're afraid, you cannot receive the things. When you're afraid, you cannot receive the things of God. Because you've taken the red pill and you're in a totally different dimension. Jesus tells us to fear not. That's what he told Darius, fear not. Because if he had stayed afraid, how many of you think that child would have come to life? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear brings death. Death is separation. Separation from all the things God has planned for you. Do you know how much healing that book is going to bring to people? Do you know how many people God has prepared to work in that school? But you're afraid. I have a question. How has fear helped you thus far? How many bricks did it put on your building? How many chapters did it write in your book? Me, I understand fear because I've experienced fear. That's why I'm thankful for shepherds who are like, write the book. You have to fear someone, that good fear, because it helps you. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 23:4. Yeah. When you have a good shepherd, you get to a point of lacking no fear. Because they tell you and you do. Write their book. Okay. They shall fear no more. Sing the song. Okay. Preach the sermon. Okay. Lead the location. Okay. All those things. Why do you think people are not planting churches? What's the reason? Fear. It's fear. And so because of fear, they are living a life of lack. As I end. First ending. I want to give you 3 ways to have freedom over fear. Take your seats. 3 ways to have freedom over fear. The first way is cut off the source of fear. You see, if you're dating a guy and he makes you cry, crying doesn't end the relationship. You have to end the relationship. Block his number. Yeah, tell him speak to the hand. You have to cut off the source of fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Meaning that fear is not from God. 2 days ago at New Dawn, over three, I don't know, some days ago at New Dawn Camp, I was sitting in that chair and we were trying to find who to sing the special song. I was sending names of top guys, maybe Tasha, what? Then an apostle sent a message, why don't you sing Smile? As soon as he said it, I instantly got a stomach ache. I was sitting there. I wasn't paying attention anymore to the interview. So I walked out and I went to that room there. the devil is a liar. So while I'm there, God sends me Pastor Aki, who asked me a simple question because I was looking around the room like this. Then he said, how are you? Now, the people I disciple, I keep telling them, when I ask you how you are, don't say those things, Abba fine, eh? I'm like, I need to say how I am. So I started, Bish was there. He said, I'm great. I am perfect. Apostle has asked me to sing the special song. And so I have cover. When he sends me, I do things well. When I sing, people are going to get healed. When I sing, so I started pacing around that room, declaring the word of God. Then I came and I sang. And the thing that Apostle said after was, I believe someone has received their healing. The thing I was declaring. Fear is not from God. Don't embrace it. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. So I just started saying, cut off the source. Cut off the source. Faith is the opposite of fear. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. How do you think fear comes? By hearing the words that are not of God. I used to believe that I was not... What's that thing when you're not, when you don't look good in pictures? Photogenic, because of something I had heard. I had to stop watching medical dramas because I realized that the more I watch medical dramas, the more I'll believe that the only way to get healed is by taking medicine. And also, each thing that comes to your body, you have lupus, because that's what it... Oh, my God, lupus, lupus, lupus. So I stopped watching medical dramas. I stopped watching crime, anything. Because I found myself, when it was time to sleep... Air crash investigation. You guys, I'd be sleeping, and I'm imagining, what if a plane crashes into my house? Do you know... When I'd be going to bed, check behind the curtain, check behind the bed, open all the cupboards, check all the doors, like that. So I had to stop. Fear is not from God. Cut off the source. Cut off the source. What does Romans 12:2 say? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? How do you get everything that's in the spirit realm and get it into your flesh? With the renewing of your mind by reading the word of God. And it says that you may prove. When you're proving something, it means that there's a truth. If I come and tell you I have a Mercedes Benz or I have a Cadillac, you will say, prove it. And I'll go and show it to you. That you may prove, meaning you are already that thing. So do not be conformed. You're a Cadillac, not a Vitz. The world has told you you're a Vitz. So you need to go and read the car manual so that you're renewed to the facts that you're a Cadillac, and you may prove that you are a Cadillac. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for a Cadillac? Cadillacs drive at certain speeds. You've been moving at a certain speed because you think you're a Vitz. Cut off the source of the lies. Who told you you were a Vitz? Who told you you had little engine power? Who told you you move by petrol or diesel? My friend, you're on nitro. Cut off the source. Cut off the source. Number two, mercy. Know that Satan has been destroyed. Do you know that? You know, sometimes this thing that we fear, it has been destroyed. There's a certain dope verse, Matthew, Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What does verse 14 say? That he was destroyed. Verse 14. He destroyed him who had power of death. Death is separation. Fear separates you. He has been destroyed. Know that truth. So each time you're feeling fear, understand that it's a lie. Remember Romans 12:2 that talked about being transformed that you may prove. What fear does is it's the thing that's stopping you from proving who you are. Fear is that the purpose of fear is so that you don't prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why fear exists. Fear is the thief of all the things God has planned for you. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, if the enemy comes and tells you, don't give first fruits, understand that a robbery is taking place. That's the only reason he comes. He's not coming to make you better. He makes you think if you don't give, you'll have. But the truth is that when you don't give, you have less. In fact, what you have is taken away from you. He comes to steal. If he tells you it's okay to sleep with that man before you're married, understand that a robber, because you're afraid that no one will ever love you, fear is stopping you from proving that you can have a good marriage with a good godly man. He comes to steal. That's his purpose. But God has come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. When fear comes and says, do you know what, eh? Don't tithe. You have only 100K. If you give away 10K, you have no money. Honestly, what can 10K do for you? Understand that a robbery is taking place. And you see the thing with that type of robbery. The thief comes, because if you don't tithe, it's just many things happening to you. God can't rebuke the devourer. So you can't have any fruit. The thing with tithe is that only thing we had in the house was tea leaves. Not the tea bags, it was those tea leaves. That's all we had in the house. And water, we had water. Of course we had water. We had water, eh? From the tap. So I remember that evening going. Somehow him and I found ourselves standing in front of our, it was so clean. The kitchen was so clean. You would open the fridge and the light. You could use it here. Go ahead, stage light. My gosh. No food. Daughter of Dr. Tusubira had no food. Now imagine what he was feeling in his heart, because he has taken me from my rich family. Even me, I was like, Bambi, make a husband. It's good to get married when you're excited about each other, because you're like, tunali alavu. Ne? Enjara yale tulumakari. We're like, let's start fasting. I believe God is calling us to fast. So we stood in front of the kitchen. The door was here. Somehow we found ourselves there. And you know when both of you know you're thinking about the same thing? Because we looked into the kitchen and there was no food. So we faced each other and held hands and started to give thanks. We gave thanks that we had a house to live in Kololo, where we were not paying rent. We gave thanks that we had no children, because you guys, imagine when there's no food, the children are crying. We gave thanks that we had each other. We gave thanks that we were not fighting. We gave thanks because we were loved. We gave thanks that we were part of. We gave thanks and we gave thanks and we gave thanks. Guys, and I kid you not, at the end of that Thanksgiving session, which I think lasted like 5 minutes, we were fine and there was no hunger. But let me tell you what happened. The next day we got an invitation. What am I saying? God's goodness to us is greater than any of the enemy's attacks. See, we got an invitation to dinner, to places we could walk to. And when that's, why aren't you driving? Ah, just exercise, evening walk. We enjoy it. We love each other so much. So we're invited to Kana Kazana. We're invited to Fang Fang. We're invited to Protea. That whole week, we're invited to dinner. And the people who would invite us would order mob food. And then they'll be like, eh? These newlyweds, at that time maybe my baby 7 months, 8, I don't remember. They should take the food. Then you first refuse, but not too long. Guys, then you say, if you insist, then we'd take those doggy bags, take them home. We had doggy bags from Protea, from Kana Kazana. What? Look, you'd open the fridge. No light is coming out of it anymore. The fridge edge you demerit. Ladies and gentlemen, praise coming from a thankful heart has great power. Let's stand up and just pray. Let's stand up and just pray. Let's stand up and just pray. Just pray, just pray. Just give thanks to God for the dreams that He has put in your heart. Give thanks to God for the places that He's taking you. Give thanks to God because today you have freedom over fear. Give thanks to God because today you have made the decision that you subject yourself to God and all the things that He's calling you to. Give thanks because those books this year are going to be written. Give thanks because this year you're going and there's glory. Give thanks because there's no more shame in your life. Give thanks because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness in the name of Jesus. Give thanks because you're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the country. It doesn't matter where you are. Stop wanting to move. You're blessed wherever you are. Father, we praise you. Father, we give you thanks. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we worship you. Thank you that today all the dreams that have been asleep have now been made alive in the name of Jesus. Thank you because there is no more death. There is no more fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Oh Lord, we go forth in glory. We go forth in power. We go forth, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you because you are here. We thank you because you're with us. Please find someone to be accountable to. Tell them that this is the thing God is asking me to do. And I'm not afraid. Because when God gives you the thing, He gives you the capacity to do it. One of the biggest fears we have in life is the fear of death. The thing I learned about eternal life is that everyone will live forever. Everyone. But where will you spend the rest of your life? Eternal life does not begin when you die, but it starts now. The Bible says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know God and His only true Son whom He sent. So maybe today the fear you're dealing with is the fear of death because you have not made the decision to accept Christ in your life as your Savior. He saves you from the fear of death. It's Christ that saves you from fear. It's Christ that gives you boldness. So if you're in this room today, you've not made the decision to get born again, this is your day of salvation. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple but very powerful. If you're in this room and you're making the decision to get born again, just put up your hand right now. Just put up your hand. Shoot it up. Say, today I get born again. Today I make the decision to get born again. I know that it's season 21. I know that there are people here, most of you are diehards. But maybe you have never made the decision. Someone brought you here today. Help me ask your neighbor. Ask them, are you born again? If your neighbor says they are not born again, ask them, would you like to get born again? And if they say yes, I want you to come with them to the front. Don't be afraid to ask. That one who's suddenly looking at their phone, ask them. That one who's trying to give you a sumbusa, ask them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. There's a celebration in heaven. He has opened the gates. If you're out there, just come forward. There's a celebration right now in the kingdom. If you're out there, come forward, come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is waiting for you right now. You have a Father in heaven. Come on. Can I shake your hand? Welcome to the family of God. There might be one more person. There might be. Ask your other neighbor. Ask your other neighbor. Say, I know it's season 21 and you're a diehard, but are you born again? Tell them, I'd like you to choose life. I'd like you to choose a relationship. Praise the Lord. Would you like to pray after me? I had someone clapping. All right. No, no, no. Like, I had, it's okay. No pressure. So you're going to pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Oh, is there someone else? Clapping means there's someone coming. Celebrate this the decision today. So just pray after me. What I say, you say. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. To take your detail, because we'd like to pray for you and the decision you have made. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.